I just thank God for the privilege of praising Him, and I know you do too. It's amazing, isn't it, that we sang this morning a half an hour, and we did tonight a half an hour, and it seemed like people really did enjoy it, praising God. Some people might think that we're kind of crazy, but I don't think we are. In fact, we usually praise God about an hour and a half a week, because we usually sing on, well, we don't sing quite 30 minutes on Wednesday nights, but I don't get tired of that. I don't think you do either. I hope it even gets better, that we praise Him more and more. He deserves our praise. We can't overdo it. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. When you memorize the scriptures, every word you consider. So it touches my heart very much in Colossians letter. We sang that song, Nailed to the Cross. But even better than that, Colossians says it's His cross. And that word "His" just thrills my soul. I remember the first time I got there, I just sucked my breath in. That cross belonged to Jesus Christ. And not just the cross, it's His cross. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, letting it to His cross. That cross belonged to Him. He knew what He came to this earth to do. So I thank God for that. I'm going to just take a very short time. I won't tempt you to preach, but I've got something I want to share with you. This is kind of a human enemy story, but I'll draw some spiritual lessons from it. I did this down at Salt and Light last night. Whenever it was. And I want to talk to you about a guy named Rocky Felker for a minute. I want to draw some human interest. He was born in Jackson. I don't know whether old Jarrett knew him or not. I doubt it. They're different ages. But he was born in Jackson, Tennessee, but he just loved Mississippi State. He was crazy about Mississippi State University. So he got to go there, and he got to be a quarterback, and he had a real good quarterback. In fact, in 1974, he led Mississippi State to a 9-3 season, which is kind of unusual for that school, and won the Sun Bowl. He was a great quarterback for 3 years, and he became, I think he might have been the most valuable player in the SEC that year. He was crazy about that school. He just thought it was great to be able to play for Mississippi State. And then, guess what? This is unbelievable. 12 years later, he became their coach, the youngest coach in the United States. I think he's about 33 years old. This is his lifelong dream. I get to coach Mississippi State. But sadly, he was not a very successful coach. I don't know what all the reasons were. After about 3 years, they had to fire him. And the guy that fired him hated to do it because he was a dear friend of his. His name was Larry Templeton, his athletic director. He also loved Mississippi State. They were crazy about Mississippi State. So here's what usually happens when a guy gets fired from a place like that. He just kind of doesn't even like that place anymore. That's a pretty big humiliation to get fired to be a head coach. But guess what happened? He loved that school so much that several years later, they needed him in a lesser position. They needed him. Jackie Sherrill, who also used to coach at A&M, came to Mississippi State and said, Rocky, I really need you to be the director of football operations, football personnel, something like that. And he took it. He was so glad to get back to school. That's kind of a minor job compared to what he had. Then later on, Sylvester Croom, who I liked him a bunch because he was such a clean guy, I wish he had made it there. He asked him, Rocky, will you be my assistant coach? And people thought, you're crazy, Rocky. Some people thought, Rocky, you're crazy. You can't take a minor position like that. But he loved that place so much. And one thing, though, Larry Templeton said about him, he said this, his little athletic director, he said that it was all about the team. As a head coach, Rocky never made a decision that made him look good as an individual. He made every decision in what he thought was the best interest of Mississippi State. That's a pretty special trait. Well, you know what I'm doing, don't you? See, I read about this in the Commercial Appeal several years ago, and it moved me. Anybody can be that devoted to something. And by the way, he is a clean-cut guy. He's a Presbyterian, clean-cut guy, and his wife just died earlier this year. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I know he must be a very decent individual. But here's what I want to do. Here's some lessons I learned out of him. There's three lessons I want to get out of him. I'm going to be through, so just pay close attention. I hope that we can love God's house as much as he, or more than he did Mississippi State, because it's a lot more important than Mississippi State. So I want to learn the lesson of loyalty and humility and love for the cause. On loyalty, I'm going to read you something. It's a good old tearjerker we usually do at weddings. You know where it's going to be from Ruth. But Ruth was very loyal. Naomi, gave her an opportunity to go back. and Orpah did go back. So let me read you. You know this. I'm just going to read it to you. We've heard it at all kind of weddings, and it's a real sweet thing. But this is an example of loyalty, and that's the way old Rocky was loyal. And you know what's amazing that thrilled me? So I did this on August the 2nd, and old Steve Chun was down there, and so he's a Mississippi State alumnus. So he decided to Google it, and guess what? That same day, now this is, you talk about God, probably the same day that I talked about him, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame of the Mississippi Stadium Club. That's I don't know what God does there, you know. He don't even know about that. I thought I might probably email him and tell him what I did, but isn't that amazing? I couldn't believe it on Steve's side. It's just amazing. Well, here's a loyalty now. Let's be loyal to the house of the Lord, okay? This is sweet. And she said, that's Naomi, behold, thy sister-in-law had gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And these words, we all love these words. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. When thou diest, where thou diest, there will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee and me. When Naomi saw, she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. I hope we'll be loyal to God's house. You know, when you're serving God in the church, sometimes there's good times, sometimes there's bad times. Sometimes there's lean times, sometimes there's times that the Lord's really there in a powerful way. Sometimes it may be kind of bleak, but if we're really loyal, we're going to stick it out. I hope we can put our hand in the plow and not look back. I don't claim to be all that faithful, but I'm glad I've been in his house since 1954, and I wish I'd been a better member. And I've seen a lot of people, except to Patty sitting over there right now, just God bless her, dear mom-in-law, dear sister in Christ, what a faithful sister. And what a good example we've had to go before, people like Claude Ewing and Tony Machiavelli, we can start naming them, a whole bunch of them. Okay, so let's be loyal. But also, the opposite, now here's the opposite of loyalty is this. Old Demas is mentioned in the Bible about three times in the New Testament, and two times it's just great. He's one of Paul's buddies. Over in the book of Philemon, the book of Colossians, he's just talking about Demas. And something happened to old Demas at the very end. Because at the last letter Paul wrote, it's the 2 Timothy. And here's what he had to say. I know it hurt Paul badly, had this man to be so faithful for so long. In 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed into Thessalonica. That's the very opposite of loyalty. All right, another lesson I want to talk about is humility. Because obviously, old Rocky Felker was humble, and he never would have accepted those lesser positions. So I want to give you something about Barnabas. You know, we love old Barnabas. Let me talk about him just a second. It won't take very long. Barnabas is a man who introduced the Apostle Paul to the rest of the disciples. You know, Paul had been a terrible man until God got a hold of him. He was trying to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, obviously, they're afraid of him. He was torturing people, and he was even on his way down to Damascus to go to strange cities to try to persecute the church even more. And then God got a hold of him. So you can imagine when he got converted, I'm sure the people, they were afraid of him. This may be a fake thing. This may be some device he's trying to get in our inner circle. So Barnabas is the one who introduced Paul to those of Jerusalem. And then later on, Paul kind of disappeared back to Tarsus. I think that's part of the time he was in the Arabian desert having some time with the Lord, but he just kind of disappeared. So Barnabas then, some great work happened at the church of Antioch, Syrian Antioch. An amazing place there that God was working in a mighty way. And if Barnabas had been a glory hog, he could have said, look, this is great. This work is right here. I'm going to take a lead in this work. I'm going to make sure I'm in the forefront of all this. But he really knew, I think, he was out of his water. I think he knew I need some help here. So he went out to Tarsus and he found Paul and brought him down there. So then I've got some places here. I won't mention them to you for time's sake, but there are several places, four or five places. You have Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. And suddenly, guess what happens? It's reversed. Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas took a back seat. He knew that Paul is the one who ought to do the leading. That's really an amazing thing. I hope in my life, as I get older, and maybe if even my ministerial opportunity to grow less, and maybe get to where I can't even preach, I hope to God I'll be faithful to his house and not slow up because I can't do be in the limelight. I hope we'll all be that way. It's not about us. It's about the call of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad Barnabas was willing to take a back seat to the Apostle Paul when he had been a leader there for a while. So another lesson is humility. And then finally, a love for the cause. And I want to use David for an example. You know, David wanted very much to build the temple. And the Lord said, David, you can't do it. You've been a man of war. You've shed a lot of blood. You can't. I'm going to let Solomon build it. Well, what could David have done? He could have said, oh, I'm not very interested then. Since I can't build a temple, I don't think I'm going to be very interested. Might have even gotten kind of a little jealous, might have sold up, something like that. He did the very opposite. I hope we who are older, with a younger generation, I hope that we want the younger generation to prosper in a spiritual way. That's my desire if I know my heart at all. So look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is the reaction that David had about the temple, because he couldn't build it, but he got very energetic in preparing for the younger generation, Saul, to be able to build that temple. I know that's what Sister Patty is like that and other people like that. We got some older people in our church, I know they feel that way. But look what David did, because he loved the house of God. Over 1 Chronicles 29:3. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I love the expression. I set my affection to the house of my God. I have of my own proper of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Over and above all, I have prepared for the holy house. So I love that. He loved the cause. So I know Rocky Felker. He's not in the Bible, but still, I got a good lesson from him. He loved Old Mississippi State. We got something a lot better Mississippi State to love. Maybe we'd be able to do it.